According to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In our introduction, we see Jesus prays that the life of his followers will be characterized by an intimate unity of identity with God. To be so identified with God means also to share in God's mission, to proclaim the word that will bring others into this same unity. Hear the word of God. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, make the prayer of Jesus become part of us, that we may experience firsthand what it means to fulfill Jesus' promise that he lives in us and we live in him. And may we live in his eternal word, as I pray that the words of my heart and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable to you, our Lord and Redeemer. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Well, as you just heard, Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, my disciples, but also on behalf of all those who will believe in me through their witness, that they may all be one." So our topic today is unity, Christian unity. The UVA basketball team had ended their previous season with a humiliating loss. Professed to win it all that season, they lost to an underrated team in their first playoff in the Nationals. Coach Tony Bennett's task to begin the new season was to build the team's morale back. So in August, he took his players and his staff to raft in the New River Gorge in West Virginia. Some players were a little reluctant about this at first. Many had never been whitewater rafting. Some had never even been in a river. But that day, they traded in their jerseys and sneakers for helmets and for oars and jumped into the rafts and pushed off. The adventure turned out to be the wisest move Coach Bennett could ever have made. To survive, they all had to listen to their instructor, and they had to work together. As one of the players said, that experience stripped away all sense of hierarchy between staff and players and between players and one another, because you know how they compare in their abilities. That day, regardless of the athletic ability of one over the other, as one person said, we're all in the same boat together. 6 months later, and the coach and team landed in Minnesota for the Final Four, where they were to become the national champions. Coach Bennett was handed a symbolic gift. You know what it was that he got off the plane? It was a paddle, yes. Reminding him of the day that the rapids had shaped their destiny. Coach Bennett was pretty smart, wasn't he, to begin the year not with skills building, but team building. He took players out of their familiar roles into something new to all of them. If they were to survive without mishap, they had to work together. Everyone becomes essential for the task. The least able and the most able became as one that day. And furthermore, once they stepped into those rafts, they gave up all control. That'll unite a group, won't it? The river's going to take them wherever it would. And they had no choice but to surrender to it. It proved to be a death and resurrection experience. You die before you come to new life. And then a kid at heart, when it was safe, Coach Bennett got out of the raft and began to turn over the rafts of other people. He was good at bringing out the kid in others. Well, some were quite nervous about this, but then they started to play together, and then you heard laughter together. In their play and in their work, they got to know each other as persons. They found common ground with each other. They became friends who cared. Now, that experience set them up, even before they got on the basketball court. They learned to check their egos in the locker room. After that experience, there were no longer any stars. Their goal was to bring out the best in each other, to play their role without expecting special recognition. Oh, Jesus would love that kind of team building, wouldn't he? They had come to terms with what glory is all about. In his farewell prayer, Jesus prays as follows, "The glory that you have given me, dear God, I have given them that they may be one as we are one." So what kind of glory is that? Scripture does say that Jesus, when he became human, emptied himself of all divine power so that he could become equal, one with others, each other. So as we follow his example, we empty ourselves, do we not, of that self-centered relationship, that we become self-givers, selfless in our relationship with others. We no longer desire from others. Rather, we serve others. We have a new identity in Christ. That's the Jesus kind of glory, which is far from self-glory. It's a kind of glory when we do for others and don't expect any recognition, any thank you, any acknowledgement of what we do. I think about Ron Clark, who mows our grass almost every week now, and others who quietly help take care of things here. It's only important because what we do for the glory of God, right? Not for what it builds us up to be. Well, this emptying of self is so important for us in our walk with Jesus. It certainly is on the basketball court, isn't it? While you can be great at assisting others that they may score, but in the end, it's not you that gets the glory, is it? But the one who scores because of your assist. It brings the crowd to their feet. Your job may be getting rebounds, or it may be on defense. But at the end of the day, who gets the highlights of the game? Who gets to be interviewed? Now, one exception to this is LeBron James, who does it all, right? Rebounds, assists, scores goals. But even he would say he couldn't do that without the team. He needs a team behind him and with him because at the end of the game, we would accomplish nothing. Any player would say we would accomplish nothing if others didn't do their part. So let the glory not go to our heads. It spoils the game. You know, I think St. Paul talks about Christian team building in his famous chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Love has a lot to do with this, you know. Love, he says, influences our relationships. We cease to envy. We don't start comparing. Love is not jealous, nor does it brag. It's not prideful or arrogant. Love is not rude. In other words, today we say love has no ego. Love is not irritable or resentful, but rather forgiving of faults and disappointments and hurts from others. Because love does not hold on to grudges, but lets them go so the relationship can continue. He says love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but in the truth. I'd like to add that love does not rejoice in self-glory, but in whatever gives glory to God. I think we should put 1 Corinthians 13 in our membership guidelines, don't you? This is who we are, who Christ makes us to be. Now, our sermon today, or the hymn for today, is the familiar one, but I wonder if it should be another familiar one. You know, they will know we're Christians by our love. Love is the glue that holds us together, is it not? It turns out that our sermon hymn is actually We Are All One in Mission, reminding us that mission in a congregation can only grow out of love, can only grow out of love for Jesus Christ, who's the one who helps remind us that we're called to serve. So in his prayer in verse 24, Jesus uses the word love and glory in the same breath. Father, may they know our kind of glory. You know, the glory of the cross, the glory of self-sacrifice. In a love, Jesus says, that I have from you from the very foundation, even before the foundation of the world. That's what the world was made of. And this is not human love, but divine love that transcends all self-glory. I want you to relax because I thought about this for a while. If it works for Coach Bennett, it should work for us, right? I wondered how you might go for, getting on a bus together, going to West Virginia, putting on our helmets, getting our paddles passed out. What do you think? And then pushing off into the river. I thought about what a team-building thing that would be. But God has another idea for you today, because soon Jesus Christ will invite you to leave your egos in the pews and come forward. Come forward to have communion with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You know, when we gather on our knees or standing, whatever you do, we're all equal together, aren't we? Equal as sinners, who of us can judge another? But equal as beloved of God, that's even more important. All in the same boat, so you might see. You know, the church is an upside-down boat. That's how they're built. We're God's upside-down people. Come, Jesus will say, be fed by the forgiving, freeing love that makes you one with me and one with another, each of us, that my joy in you may indeed be fulfilled. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Bless diversity in worship and ministry across all nations and cultures. Unite us in Christ and keep us faithful in our calling to show your love to the world. Pour out over all the earth the water of life as a gift. Wash the wounds of creation and restore all living things to wholeness. Protect ocean habitats, river ecosystems, and wetlands. Give a spirit of collaboration to leaders of the nations so that all people know safety, security, and dignity. Especially we pray for nations of impossible conflict, for the nations of Iran and North Korea. Heal victims of torture and liberate those who are wrongfully imprisoned or detained. Come quickly to the aid of your people. Give wisdom and the gift of calm to military, prison, hospital, and hospice chaplains who stand as signs of your abiding presence. Refresh all who thirst for hope, for love, and for healing. Gracious God, we pray for Liz Alls that you will grant her good results of her medical testing, ease her pains this and every day, and help her breathing to be easy. We pray for Willa Daig, especially the sister of Sonny Umberger, that you will grant her your consolation and healing power in this discovery she has cancer. We pray for Ron Clark and the loss of his longtime friend Wesley Perkins, and for the family of Charlie Van Leer, comfort in their loss of him. We also pray for our dear June Holden, as she is seeking medical testing for a knee injury, that all will be well for her, that she'll be granted your healing power. We also pray for your comfort and for your strength for Doug and Janice Schaffner in their trauma of experiencing some shootings. We think of all who've been in that eye-opening, heart-rending experience today. We also are thankful for Margaret and Sonny and their 60 years together. We offer our prayers for Janice's daughter Emily and Brandon in their marriage, that you will bless them with joy and with fulfillment. We pray for Ursula as well, that she will be given solutions to resolve her vertigo. We offer our prayers for others in silent or spoken prayer.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us.
us grace. Let your word fill our hearts and our homes. Bless all who teach us the faith, pastors and deacons, Sunday school and confirmation teachers, public theologians, mentors, curriculum writers, publishers. And gracious Lord, our hearts go out to residents of Virginia Beach, especially to those who were experiencing the violent shootings at the municipal center there. Be with those who've lost loved ones. Be with those who are wounded, seeking recovery. May this community, may this state, may we all respond with compassion and seek to keep them in our prayers and support in whatever way that can minister to them. We also are mindful of farmers who are losing their farms to flooding, to towns and places of business and cities in the Midwest and the South being devastated as waters continue to rise in some of those places. Grant your spirit of consolation and hope for recovery as those communities come together. We pray for all who are in times of disaster. Hold all the saints in the grace of the Lord Jesus, especially those departed saints we name in our hearts. Sustain weary souls with the promise that the morning star is coming soon to lead us into light. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. You may be seated.